our studios here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Welcome in Gym Class here on a Monday, a beautiful Monday. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes, former sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. We'll be joined by Alex Kuhn coming up probably toward 4 o'clock. Kirk Ferentz right now meeting the media down in Iowa City as everything is coming together. The perfect storm, if you will, as far as sports. We got the NCAA basketball tournament, the NIT basketball tournament, baseball getting underway, spring football. The Iowa depth chart is out for the spring. Doesn't include the players that go into spring injured, so we'll kick that around on the program here today as well. And above all, NCAA and NIT basketball talk with you out there. 319-366-1600 if you'd like to comment. Also have the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line available for you. That is also at 319-366-1600 from one of the best weekends in the world of sports that just took place. Am I right or wrong about that?
Good afternoon. I had a lot of homework over the weekend. I never had as much homework. I didn't have this much homework at Co.
Now, careful there.
Well, I had it, but
didn't do it.
Between basketball and wrestling, and
I forgot, man, wrestling. Yes, wrestling too.
Great weekend. We'll talk to Mark Ironside to recap that on Wednesday, I believe, right?
Yeah, and Kevin Lehman's also going to join us coming up tomorrow, college basketball analyst for several networks. We'll talk with him about his impressions of the first weekend of the NCAA basketball tournament. Place to start is right there with the NCAAs. And again, if you'd like to weigh in, 319-366-1600. Love to hear from the Cyclone fans out there. What a game. I know Iowa State came out on the losing end of things by 4. But to make it a game after being down by 19, and the way Iowa State went down by 19 in that game, basically being manhandled. We talked about the fact on when we saw Iowa State was going to Milwaukee, there was a potential to go up against Purdue. Purdue, kind of like the Baylor of the Big Ten, with all the height inside, and Baylor's given Iowa State some problems over the years. Baylor gives a lot of people problems over the years. Purdue gives a lot of people problems over the years. But for Iowa State to come back, started shooting like they did in the last 3 weeks, and actually take a 2-point lead in that game, I thought Iowa State was going to come all the way back. I thought they were going to pull away, maybe win it by 6 or 7. But a couple turnovers at the end. Purdue hit some free throws, and Purdue came away with the victory in that basketball game on Saturday night.
Yeah, you figured Swanigan and Haas were going to be an issue, at least for part of the time, for Iowa State, but kind of got it figured out the last 15 minutes or so. But by then, it was too late. I mean, it's well documented. You're getting down 19, even 11, as Iowa did yesterday. You expend so much energy trying to get back into the game, and by the time you get it down to 4 or 6 or even tied, you know, then how do you hit that next gear and finish things? And Iowa State made it, you know, a very exciting game. And Monte Morris went out, not as he had hoped. Naz Long, Matt Thomas. I mean, they had brilliant careers. 100 wins in 4 years. That's terrific. Not all on them, but what an experience for them. And I know they wanted to go further, but, yeah, it was a good run.
It was a very good run, and the good news is it was a great run. The bad news is most of those guys are gone. 70 of the 76 points Iowa State scored in that game on Saturday night are gone for Iowa State. It's going to be a new-look team for the Cyclones next year. Iowa State is going to go through what Iowa experienced this year with all the youngsters playing. Donovan Jackson's going to be back. You like Donovan Jackson?
I do. Yeah.
A whole lot. Solomon Young on the interior is going to be back. Of course, a lot of Cyclone fans looking at Cameron Lard as a guy that's going to come in here and make a difference for Iowa State right away. And got off to a late start, obviously, this year. I think they made the right decision not take the red shirt or not throw him in there, just redshirt him, get him ready for next year. But it's going to be a much different team because, A, all those guys are gone, and, B, those are Fred Hoiberg's guys. All the ties now to Fred Hoiberg as a part of the Iowa State basketball program as a coach. Also, T.J. Otzelberger, who's starting to do really good things in his coaching regime now after 1 year, made the NCAA tournament. Also not there. This is Steve Prohm's team now. I know Steve Prohm talked yesterday, or I guess Saturday night, about these are my guys. I mean, and any coach will feel that way toward a group, especially that just went through their last game, as emotional as that was. But now this is truly Steve Prohm's group. A lot of coaches have won with other people's talent. Now it's Steve Prohm's talent that is in there.
Yeah, you couldn't be more correct. But I will say that even though Fred Hoiberg recruited Deontay Burton a couple of years ago, it was Steve Prohm who developed him.
True.
And Burton, I'm a huge fan. We'll talk to Michael Loss about this in a little bit. You know, I don't know. I couldn't scout for the NBA. I don't know what makes an NBA player. I know Iowa State's had many good players who haven't made the NBA. George Niang, wonderful player, sees limited minutes in the NBA right now. Melvin Ejim, Kane has seen some NBA minutes, I think. But so many wonderful players before them. But seeing some of the things that Deontay Burton did, man, I couldn't help but wonder if it won't translate to the NBA.
What do you think? 319-366-1600, the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. Iowa State fans, your 2 cents worth on next year, looking back, paying homage to this group of Cyclones that went through, won 3 Big 12 tournament championships. I mean, that's something right there to hang the hat on. And, boy, what a game it was. I think it was probably the second best game of the opening weekend of the tournament was Iowa State-Purdue. Wasn't the best game because it wasn't close the whole way through. And I think Purdue lost a little bit of their identity in the second half. They started falling in love with jump shots a little bit more than they should have because, let's face it, every time Haas or Swanigan caught it in the lane, it was 2 points.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was just, there was nothing Iowa State could do. There's nothing. Ask Iowa. They went through that in West Lafayette in the Big Ten opener. Iowa got throttled.
Purdue gets the high-low thing going. I mean, Swanigan can play on the perimeter, good passer, and Haas is just so big that very few teams can handle him.
Yeah. 319-366-1600 on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line out there. Other things from the NCAA.
Don't throw the kid under the bus.
Oh, I'm not. I don't even want to talk. I want to leave the poor kid from Northwestern alone. It's the AD's son, correct? I believe I read that.
AD or assistant AD? I'm
one
not
of the
quite
two.
Sure. Yeah.
And that poor kid, I mean, he's been through the ringer enough. And, you know, he's going to see that.
Did the cameras show him too much?
Yes.
Did they?
Yes. They showed Doug Collins too much. They showed Julia Louis-Dreyfus too much, even though, let's face it, we like looking at Julia Louis-Dreyfus, but they showed him too much in that particular game. And both games, as far as Northwestern is concerned. Now, I was going to go to the conferences here. You can kind of, we heard all year how the ACC was great. ACC is dominating. ACC should get a record number of teams. They should get 10. They should get 11. They came within 2 minutes of being shut out of the Sweet 16. Arkansas had a lead, 3-4 point lead, with a couple minutes remaining in that game against North Carolina down in Greenville, and if they hold on, the ACC is done. West Virginia polished off Notre Dame. Virginia looked absolutely horrific in their loss to Florida. They scored 39 points in that particular ball game. Wake Forest couldn't play, still can't play defense. Florida State can't shoot. Was the ACC overrated this year? Duke, and then we haven't got to Duke. Duke was going into the season, as Vitale said, they could run the table. They could go undefeated. Forgot to tell them they didn't have a point guard. And they fell to South Carolina, although an asterisk to that one that we'll get to later on. But ACC certainly lost, I think, the weekend. I think Big Ten and Big 12 did fine.
Three each in the last 16, yep, along with the Pac-12.
And the SEC. I think the SEC was the big winner. I was even down on the SEC going into the tournament. But the SEC gets 3 teams into the Sweet 16. Mm-hmm. Almost had a fourth if Arkansas holds on against North Carolina.
I thought it was a really good weekend for the Big Ten. Michigan, what a story. I mean, they have to win 4 games of the Big Ten tournament and then have won the first 2 in the NCAA tournament, playing really at a high level. And then what Wisconsin did, to reach the round of 16. Michigan State fell way short against Kentucky, but Wisconsin knocking off the defending national champion. And, I mean, that East bracket is a crapshoot now, is it not?
Oh, it's a mess.
So you got 8th-seeded Wisconsin, 4th-seeded Florida, 3rd-seeded Baylor, and 7th-seeded South Carolina. One of those teams is going to make the Final Four. And I don't believe any of those coaches have ever been to the Final Four.
I would have to double check on that.
As a head coach
out there. Yeah, it was certainly a very interesting first weekend of the NCAA tournament. Plus the fact, and I said South Carolina with an asterisk and Duke with an asterisk there. And we were talking about this in the sports office before we came on the air today. And again, your thoughts, welcome. 319-366-1600 on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. And that is the home court. South Carolina got a big, big advantage playing in Greenville, South Carolina. But as we were talking about, that was not scheduled to be in Greenville, South Carolina, that particular sub-regional. It was supposed to be in the state of North Carolina, but was moved by the NCAA because of the bathroom bill.
Mm-hmm.
Now they had to move it to Greenville, South Carolina. South Carolina was not the host, but boy, did they benefit from it. And if you are the host, you cannot play at this venue. Furman was the host school. So if Furman would have made the NCAA tournament, they would not have been able to play at that sub-regional in Greenville. Same thing with Iowa State at Wells Fargo Arena. Was that last year, I believe? Iowa State was the host.
Mm-hmm.
They were not able to play. Drake could have played. If Drake made it. Drake was far from making it. But you see my point here.
Yeah, absolutely.
This makes no sense. They changed this a few years back because trying to get more people more butts into the seats, they made that change that you could play close to home. But you can't play too close to home if you're the host. It makes no sense out there. South Carolina took big advantage of that against Duke last night.
Well, the NCAA committee could have alleviated this by just switching one of the 7 seeds to that region. Switch Michigan to that region and move South Carolina to Michigan's slot on the other side of the bracket. Committee could have leave.
Do you feel bad for Duke?
No.
Oh, I don't either. But
I don't think many people do.
But I think they got hosed by that whole thing. Something's got to be done because it doesn't make sense. It's not consistent, in my opinion. In my opinion, it's just not consistent out there.
It doesn't matter in the women's game.
They play at home.
Yeah.
Exactly. 319-366-1600. Your thoughts out there. We'll get to Iowa coming up in a moment here. Yesterday in the NIT against TCU down in Iowa City.
I'm not so sure South Carolina wouldn't have won in Idaho. They just played very, very well.
They're a good
and Duke
team.
Did not.
Very good
team. I think
the
home, so-called home crowd helped a little bit, but they played very, very well.
Yes, they did. Very well out there. 17, make it 18 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock here on the Gym Class, the Monday edition coming your way here on KGYM.
A couple of texts regarding the Iowa game and Iowa State as well. 67-39 believes Burton is the best player in the state and Bohannon is second. 0190 would like to know, do we know why Pemsel was on the bench during the crucial late stretch in yesterday's game? I was there, so I wasn't able to hear any commentary. My question, and I text Scott was there, and he can perhaps answer that a little bit better than I, but I text Scott why Dom Ewell's on the floor at the end of the game. Ewell has not had a great year. Perhaps Fran McCaffrey saw something defensively in Ewell that he liked. Has not been a very good offensive player at all. Pemsel, you know, has his moments. One night, one possession, he fumbles one out of bounds. The next possession down the floor, you know, he makes a terrific move at the rim. So, question text on the text line, Scott, why Pemsel was not on the floor at the end of the game yesterday for Iowa.
Why he wasn't?
Mm-hmm.
On the floor at the end of the game?
Crucial late stretch in yesterday's game.
He was on the floor. He took the last shot.
maybe it's a different stretch where our texter is referring to.
Well, you asked about that as well with Dom Yule in there at the end of the game.
I did.
Yesterday. To me, being there, it looked as though Ahmad Wagner and Isaiah Moss kind of got into the doghouse a little bit for various reasons. Mm-hmm. Defense. Ahmad Wagner just, TCU played a really good game. They didn't do anything that was X's and O's wise over the top, but they did the same thing, and Iowa just could not figure it out. They ran their baseline guys, did a double pick for them, and just took their guy in the middle against the zone, brought him up, did a little pick, little roll, and he was open every time. And I think that was Ahmad Wagner's guy, and I think Fran got a little perturbed.
11-21 claims Pemsel got hit in an area of the body where men do not want to get hit.
He did. He did. Which I think led a little bit to the altercation that got he and the TCU player a technical foul. There was a lot of jawing in that game.
It was pretty chippy,
yesterday.
Wasn't it?
There was a lot of chippiness in that game yesterday. But yes, the texter is right. Cordell did get,
Fresh from Marion, I've watched some really good Iowa point guards in my life. Woolridge, Dean Oliver, Jeff Horner, and Mike Cassell. Jordan Bohannon has a lot of career left, but if he has more years like he did the first, he will be the best I've ever seen for the Hawkeyes.
That's saying a lot. A guy in wearing number 12 also played point guard for Iowa. You remember back?
Ronnie Lester. Yeah.
Bohannon, terrific freshman season.
Especially down the stretch.
Yeah. Yesterday with 25 and 13, amazing. I don't want to heap that much pressure on to Jordan as of yet. He's going to be the focal point of a lot more things next year. Number 14 was out there this year.
Mm-hmm.
That got a lot of double teams. Jordan got a few early in the Big Ten season just to kind of throw a little pressure at him.
Mm-hmm.
But as Jock started hitting more and more, less double teaming, more toward Peter.
I think you'd agree, a great freshman year, though.
Oh, absolutely. Can he be one of the best? Sure, absolutely. I was in Jordan's camp, and that was the fact that he was very underrated coming out of high school. A lot of people questioned if he's going to be big enough, is he going to be strong enough, is he going to be durable enough to play at the next level, and I said, yeah, not a doubt in my mind that he was going to be able to do that.
66-64 on the Geriatric Investment Services text line, challenging you a little bit, Scott.
We had a call challenging me, too.
Oh. Iowa State future looks very bright as they bring in 3 4-star recruits. You also know they are going to bring in good graduate transfers.
Are they going to keep doing that, though? That's my question. Do they need to keep doing that route?
It's worked fairly well.
It has. Now, like I said, Iowa State is going to play the Iowa role next year. They're going to be very, very young out there. And I'd like to hear from Iowa fans, too, and we'll ask Mike Colas this question, and that is, are you satisfied as an Iowa fan? Are you satisfied as an Iowa State fan with the way that the season played out for your basketball team?
Well, the one element that I think Iowa was missing is the big guy in the middle, and Iowa's bringing in Luca Garza, who's been listed anywhere from 6'10 to a 6'11, recently named the Player of the Year in Washington, D.C., and has had a very good season this year, and whether he can step in as a freshman and give Iowa some more length and bulk on the inside, whether it's 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, what have you, I think that will be a very good presence. I do think Ryan Kreener is going to improve, in his career. He probably gave more than I thought he would give this year. So, you know, every year is different. Teams lose players. We've seen it with Iowa, with Marble and White and now Peter Jock. Things change. So the bulk of this team, unlike Iowa State, is going to be there next year.
Interested with Iowa State fans, if you gave them the choice right now, knowing what Iowa State lost, 70 of the 76 points from Saturday night's game, If you said, look in your crystal ball, don't even play next year. If the NCAA basketball genie gave you Iowa State people, second round NIT, would they take it? Would they switch spots with Iowa? Knowing what Iowa State had coming back with the young team they're going to put out on the court next year, would that be a successful season next year?
I would think so.
I would say yes. I would say yes. It's not a guarantee. Heck, this team could go crazy next year. They could all perform terrific and make the NCAA tournament. Iowa almost made the NCAA tournament mm-hmm. this year. But I still think it was not a bad deal for Iowa to make the NIT.
1545 on the text line. Priorities for next year for the Iowa team, in my mind, should be defense and free throw shooting. And who will be the go-to offensive player that can create a shot in traffic?
Especially at the end of games mm-hmm. and at the end of the shot clock. That's kind of been a bugaboo for Iowa for years with that. Getting back to the earlier call.
Yes.
Two-pronged question, I was told. And that is, number one, our thoughts, first of all, about the goaltending not called in the Northwestern game against Gonzaga that ruffled the feathers, I think, of Chris Collins to the point where he got a pretty significant technical foul there at the end. Why isn't that reviewable?
My question
as well. It should be reviewable. And I don't know still to this point. Now, would Northwestern have won if the call was made correctly? I don't know. Hard to say if they would have come back, continued the comeback to win. Certainly would have helped. But why is that not reviewable? It should be reviewable. Mm-hmm. That's my answer. Should be reviewable at that point. Why you got to wait till? And these, and they're, especially when some of the things that are reviewed in the last 2 minutes of games are reviewed.
Well, the defensive player's hand was clearly in the cylinder from underneath.
Not even close.
Yeah.
And again, I don't know how three officials can miss that. Yeah, you miss things. I know that. But all three to miss that was really a head scratch.
Good question on the text line, 4398. Wonders what we thought of the new NIT rules, the experimental rules this year. The fouls resetting is a big deal. I was worried TCU was going to foul at the end of regulation and overtime to kill the clock.
And they did.
Yeah.
They did a little bit. It was different, I will say that. I still would like to see the one-on-one a little bit come into play. Overtime, though, it was the same as regulation play. You had to get five fouls to get a free throw. So at the end, TCU was just fouling.
Well, on the other hand, I believe TCU was over the limit with like 14:45, 4 minutes, 45 seconds
Correct.
Left in that first segment. And Iowa did get to the free throw line, shot it poorly, could have even got there more. Could have really taken a huge advantage. I mean, 5 minutes of play is a very long time, and to get to the free throw line multiple times to shoot two would have been a big advantage.
What this comes down to is the fact they're looking for ways to make games fit in the TV window better. That's what it's coming down to for that. It's not a free throw fest in an overtime situation. Where yesterday, both teams would have been shooting free throws in mm-hmm. overtime. So that's what it comes down to, trying to make it a little bit better for the viewer out there. The other part of the question was taking me to task a little bit as far as the Duke not getting home games over the years, because as the caller pointed out, they've been in Raleigh, they've been in various places very close to the Duke campus, and I agree wholeheartedly with that. I don't think they should get it either. North Carolina's been in the same way. A lot of games in Greensboro over the years, a lot of games in Charlotte over the years. They got to come up with a system as far as the NCAA tournament is concerned that's consistent. That's all I'm saying.
Well, like I said, the committee could have alleviated that issue in the selection process and where it sent certain teams. And I haven't looked at the bracket close enough to see if Michigan could have fit there, but swapping seven seeds with South Carolina, you know, that would have been, I think, one way to alleviate that, yeah, there's no Big Ten team except for Wisconsin in the upper part of the bracket in the East. So I think it could have been a fixed before the pairings were released.
I say either go one way or the other. Go the way the women's basketball tournament is. You can play at home. You can play close to home. Just if it works out that way, so be it. Just be consistent with it. Or you go the old route and you sacrifice crowds a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Iowa State obviously played in Milwaukee. Very close, within driving distance for Ames, within driving distance for West Lafayette. In the old days, in air quotes here, as you know, Mark, they didn't care where they sent you. They'd send you to Moscow, Idaho. You visited beautiful Moscow, Idaho, didn't you?
I remember that
Pullman,
trip.
Pullman, Washington, places like that. They didn't care. You had a crowd or whatever the case may be. But, yeah, be consistent. That's all I'm saying. Be consistent.
99-36 would not be satisfied with an NIT bid, speaking as an Iowa State fan, I presume. Would imagine State finishes in the top 64 from here on out. They've been solid for the last 6 years. Keep the train rolling.
And that's going to be, that's the big thing next year. That is the big question. That is going to be the number one, first and foremost, for Iowa State basketball next year. Do they keep it going? Big 12's tough.
I'm going to get to Michael Loss of the Cedar Rapids Gazette here shortly. In 1985, why can't they give the coaches challenges every other sport does? If you win it, no harm. If you lose it, it costs you a timeout. If you have no timeout, it's free throws.
It's not a bad idea. You get one a game, so you're judicious when you use it.
You got a red flag in your pocket.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Throw it out there. 3:31 here on the program. We're going to take a break, come back. For you today, for our great listeners out there, we've got Rough Rider tickets up for grabs. That'll be coming up as the Rough Riders take on Dubuque. That'll be the week from this Friday, March the 31st at 7 o'clock. It's ANF night, America Needs Farmers. So catch the Rough Riders one last time this season at the stable, courtesy of us here at the gym class this week. We'll be giving those away coming up here in just a little bit. But when we come back, Mike Colossal will join us, and Mike was in Milwaukee over the weekend. He took in Iowa State and Purdue, and as well as Iowa State taking on Nevada in that first round game. So we'll talk with him about the Iowa State wrap to the season, the Iowa wrap to the season as well. We'll do it when we come back here on the Gym Class on KGYM.
Hi, I'm Amelia, and at my age of 14, I just don't want to be tied down with any long-term commitments. If computers at your business break, call Network Computer Solutions, and they'll fix the problem quickly and just charge you for the work they do. No contracts are needed that tie you down. You've got plenty of time to worry about commitments later. We have our whole lives ahead of us.
Call NCS at 247-7223. 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Fixing your pavement can be more affordable than you think. Spring into action and stop dodging those cracks and potholes. Call Paint Asphalt. They can handle commercial parking lots, roadways, and your very own driveway. Serving the area for over 30 years, Paint Asphalt has decades of experience. Make your parking lot, roadway, and driveway look great. Pave it to last with Paint Asphalt. See them at paintasphalt.com.
The KGYM Road Trip comes to you live with the Afternoon Players Club. This is your chance to hang out while the APC is broadcasting and get your hands on some swag from the gym. Plus, other prizes. Pick up your raffle ticket when you walk in the door. Want to know when it's happening? Find the road trip schedule at KGYMradio.com. The KGYM Road Trip, live from Coach's Corner Sports Pub, Mormon Trek Boulevard in Iowa City, driven by Linder Tire Service, online at LinderTire.com.
America, it's time for some straight talk. Lobster is really just a fancy way to eat butter. Nobody wants to read the poetry you wrote in college, and guess what? That low-priced unlimited plan those big wireless carriers want to sell you? It's crawling with mystery fees, overages, and other nasty surprises. So it turns out those plans aren't so low-priced after all. But look, there's a better way. Straight Talk gives you unlimited talk, text, and data with the first 5 gigs up to 4G LTE starting at just $45. That's half the cost with no contract. Plus, you don't have to worry about getting blindsided by mystery fees and overages. All on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks. Come on, it's time to stop being fooled. It's time to ask yourself, why haven't I switched? Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart.
Savings may vary. Please refer always to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
They go to the ballpark to watch the game. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, the gym class, KGYM.
Rough Rider tickets to give away coming up in a little bit. Kirk Ferentz audio on the APC. They'll talk NCAAs. They'll talk NIT as well coming up between 4 o'clock and 7 o'clock. World Baseball Championship semifinals coming up tonight. Puerto Rico and the Netherlands will be playing at Dodger Stadium tonight. Tomorrow night, the USA will be in action against Japan, both of those at 7:30, and then the championship game of the WBC coming up Wednesday. And that will be at 7:30 as well. One of our terrific texters came up with the definitive answer as far as how to alert the officials of a possible coach's challenge.
21-34, Iowa was a post presence away from a good NCAA run, and as far as a challenge, you could throw a chair.
Yeah. Tongue in cheek.
Or grab a water bottle.
However you want to do it. Whatever. Whatever the case may be.
Because nobody gets hurt.
Yeah. By the way, Kirk Ferentz at the dais right now, at the microphone. LeVar Woods has been named special teams coordinator. That is news for the Iowa football team. Also, Kirk saying that Matt Nelson may be able to move inside. Little defensive tackle for Matt.
Hmm.
Which would be very interesting. More on that coming up in a little bit. Michael Law is set to join us right now, the Gazette sports columnist. You can read his stuff. Terrific stuff it is from Milwaukee and other places at thegazette.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Halas as well. And he was in Milwaukee over the weekend. Mike, how you doing?
I'm home. I'm good. Basketball season's over.
Well, and boy, did it go out with a bang. I know the Cyclone fans would have loved to have continued things on. But as far as the games this weekend, that was one of the top three, no matter what.
Yeah, it was. I had a courtside seat for it, and when Burton hit the two free throws that put him ahead, I thought to myself, they're going to do this. And I was wrong.
We saw Purdue in Big Ten play. What were your impressions of the Boilermakers?
Well, they're the best team in the Big Ten. They proved that over 18 games. They won the league by two games. Lost in a tournament to Michigan in overtime. And looking back at that, it's like, well, that was no great shame.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they've given Michigan the toughest game Michigan's had in the last 2 weeks. They're good. They've got a NBA lottery pick who has a body/skill set like who else in college basketball? Nobody. Swanigan, this is a guy who has more rebounds in one season in the Big Ten since Jerry Lucas. And I assume a lot of your listeners weren't born when Jerry Lucas played. I was a baby, and you were probably only in your late teens. But that was 1962. So we're talking, you know, almost 60 years. Okay, that's one thing. But he also averages almost 20 a game, and he's making three-pointers, and he dishes out seven assists, and he knocked the ball away from Monte Morris with about 2 minutes left, and not very many people do that. He alone is, I mean, he's one of those few players I think I'd pay to watch. And then they have another NBA player. Vincent Edwards is an NBA player. And Isaac Haas, I don't know what his future is, but you can't teach 7-2 and soft hands. And to me, I told people in the office today, you remember Lisa Becker when she played basketball at Jefferson 6-on-6 in the 1980s?
Yeah.
That's what it reminded me of. The teammates just lobbed it to Isaac Haas, and he laid it in the basket. It was like what, you know, Larry Niemeyer used to have over at Jefferson when Lisa would score 63 a game.
I exchanged texts with Scott quite a bit over the weekend, but one of my texts was about Deontay Burton, and I know I've gushed about him in previous interviews with you, Mike, but I'm telling you, some of the things he does it translate to the NBA with him?
I don't know. I think what's going to be interesting is the NBA pre-draft camp in Chicago, because you know that Burton's name isn't going to be on mock drafts, which doesn't mean anything. But when they put him on the court, I assume he's going to get invited. I can't imagine why he wouldn't. In fact, let's just say he is, because it'd be crazy if he didn't. But when you put him on the court with 9 other players who are basically all-conference college players, it'll be interesting to me to see how he sort of fits in, you know, in those situations, and what happens when he's surrounded with, you know, players of similar talent levels. Mm-hmm. But what you said is, I agree completely. I'm not sure. I mean, I thought Royce White was a unique talent, and he was. And George Niang did things that you just didn't see from a player his height. But the things Burton does at 6'5", 250 are, they're very uncommon. And I thought he had checked out, Mark. At halftime, the team comes out with 4.5 minutes left to shoot around, to get warmed up. There's no sign of Burton. Dylan Monts on our—I noticed it—and I asked Dylan Monts on our staff, who was there with me, and he said, "Well, he comes out late sometimes." And I'm thinking to myself, "Well, okay, that's an idiosyncrasy, but he doesn't show up until 30 seconds left in the half." Oh. I'm starting to think, "Oh my gosh, do we have some sort of major story here?" He comes out with 30 seconds left in the half, doesn't take a shot, just joins the team in the huddle, goes out. In the first two Purdue possessions, he gets lost on defense, and Purdue scores easy layups. And I'm thinking, this guy's gone. He's checked out. He gets his third foul with 14 minutes left. He's out of the game for four and a half minutes. He's on the bench, and he's clearly, you know, not happy. And I'm thinking that, you know, this is a pretty sad way for the season to end. And then he gets back in the game with 10 minutes left, and he completely takes the game over. It was just the damnedest thing. And you know what? He was defending Swanigan. He wasn't just bodying him. He was defending him. He was knocking the ball away from him. He blocked one of his shots. And I think that they got him in Swanigan's head. But give Purdue so much credit. Thompson hits that three-pointer somehow with 3 minutes left, and they get the lead back. And Purdue D'd up. And then, of course, that crazy long free throw that Mathias missed with 11 seconds left. Swanigan's just too much for Burton and Morris, or excuse me, Thomas. They can't do anything with him. He's too powerful for him. He gets the rebound. They win the game. That's basketball, you know. Two good teams.
If you mentioned that three-pointer with a 2-3 minutes left right there after Iowa State had taken the lead. If Purdue doesn't hit that three, I think Iowa State wins this thing by 7 or 8.
I think you're right. But yeah, here's the thing is, what ifs? I mean, what if Iowa State, I mean, hadn't just been so thoroughly cut apart for 30 minutes? It was as if Purdue, you know, I don't know what Iowa State exactly was doing on offense in the first half of the game. But Prohm finally figured it out. It's like, get out, put 5 guys on the court who can make jump shots and 5 guys who can run, and don't worry about, you know, play a zone defense. And look, if they're going to get the points inside, get them. But don't let Thompson and the Edwardses beat you, and they didn't. And Morris said that Thompson was the guy they wanted to have that critical shot because he hadn't made a basket the whole game. He makes the shot. And it wasn't like a clean three-pointer, but you know what? He made the shot. And sometimes you just have to say the team that played better won, and Purdue was the team that played better.
Iowa State has had maintained excellence in the last, Nate, name the number of years. I mean, won three out of the last four Big 12 tournament championships. Scott and I were debating earlier what's next with all of Fred Hoiberg's recruits gone, and Steve Prohm will have his own players in. Any sense?
Well, they're not going to be as good next year. I think that's a safe bet. And the trouble for them is that the Big 12 will probably get better. TCU, as you saw yesterday in Iowa City, is not going to be anybody's doormat anymore. Jamie Dixon's a really good coach, and they beat Kansas a week and a half ago. They won at Iowa yesterday in front of 15,000 people. They'll be good. He's in Dallas. They'll get players. Texas will be good. They weren't good at all this year. They'll be good.
Oklahoma's going to get a lot better.
Yeah. Now, maybe Oklahoma State drops, although they'll still have one of the best players in the country at point guard next year if he stays in the college, Evans. And Kansas will be Kansas, will be Kansas, will be Kansas. But here's the thing. Steve Prohm, I think, will know how to work that free agent wire. He's already shown he could. I mean, Darryl Bouie certainly helped him this year, especially in the last few weeks. He came from Northern Illinois, a grad transfer. He pulled Donovan Jackson out of a JUCO. Donovan Jackson helped him a lot. And he's got some high school recruits already in the pipeline. There's a point guard named Wigginton who Eric Heff told me is going to be really good. And if Eric Heff says that about a point guard, I tend to believe it. It's become a pretty well-known program for players who, you know, who know that the basketball is up-tempo, that the stage is large, and that success is there to be had. And I really expect Prohm to assemble a competitive roster for next year and to have them back in the NCAA tournament the year after.
Yeah, we were talking about that before. Iowa State's going to exchange positions with Iowa this year. They're going to look a lot like Iowa. And we were kind of asking Cyclone people to comment and let us know, would they take Iowa season of this year next year? And kind of a 50-50 mixed results, as you might well imagine.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, you go to six straight NCAA tournaments, and the NIT doesn't hold much allure. And Iowa had been to three in a row, and the only reason it held allure this year is it wasn't a veteran team that let them down. It was a young team that I think people would say maybe maxed out. And that's so much what this is about, is expectations, as with everything in life, I guess. I think Iowa State and Iowa both topped expectations. I really do. I mean, a year ago, a lot of people were saying, I think Iowa State's going to have a drop-off. They lose Niang, they lose Nader, they lose McKay. Yeah, they've got some players back, but you didn't know if Naz Long was going to be the player he once was, coming off hip surgeries and basically a whole year off. And here they go 12-6 in the Big 12, win the conference tournament, and win a game in the NCAAs. So that was I hate to say overachieving, but that was a pleasant surprise of a season. Same deal with Iowa. Pleasant surprise of a season. 10-8 in the Big Ten, win an NIT game. Satisfying season. And now, as you say, roles are reversed, and we see what Iowa's guys can do when the burden of expectations fall on them.
You were in Iowa City yesterday. I anticipated a heck of a game with TCU. You talked about that program and what it has this year. Only 6-12 in the league, in the Big 12, but terrific talent playing well down the stretch. And Iowa, it's pretty simple. Spotty defense at times and poor free throw shooting. But I, for one, I thought it was one of the most entertaining years to watch an Iowa basketball team in a while, just because you never knew what you were going to get on a given night.
Right. And here's the thing. I bet you're the same way as I am, and a lot of people. The thing we love about basketball is the skill. It sounds very simple to say that, and even maybe silly, but I don't go to a basketball game as a fan to watch master strategizing or, you know, mm-hmm. I want to see talent perform. And that's why the NBA is very popular, because it's the best players in the world performing. It's not built around coaches. It's built around talent. Well, this Iowa team this season was, the story of it to me was we got to see talent perform. I mean, Peter Jok had so many really remarkable nights. Jordan Bohannon in the last three games of the season. Get a load of this. If you didn't already talk about it, I'm sure you at least alluded to it. But 22.7 points, 11.3 assists. And what was he from 3-point yesterday? 7 of 11 or 7 of 12 or something like that?
Yeah.
The freshman. Okay. 22.7 points and 11.3 assists in a Big Ten tournament game and two postseason games. That's not done. That's not done almost, period. I don't remember ever seeing an Iowa player get 10 assists in three straight games. Now, okay. Is he a completely polished product? Of course not. He's got a lot of work to do on defense, but that's the story of the team, and that's where I think that the excitement should come, is the defense is the last thing that comes with young players and young teams. It was the last thing to come with Peter Jok. It was the last thing to come with Devin Marble. Those two became really good defensive players. Tyler Cook, not a great defensive player yet, could be. If he is, what have you got on your hands there? He made the last 18 shots he took this season. I know. Who does that? And you could say, well, they were all layups. Some of them were tip-ins. Tip-ins aren't, you don't make 100% of your tip-in attempts. And some of the shots he took, look, they were not, those weren't 18 gimmies. I think he can be a better rebounder. I don't think he was a great rebounder this year, but he's a freshman. And go on down the list. So when the defense catches up to the offense is when you find out, what you've got on your hands there.
Good to see that you did not end up in NCAA purgatory or anything like that for doing something. And it is a long and detailed list of things that you can do and cannot do at an NCAA venue. So congratulations to you.
Well, you don't know the whole story.
You picked up that cold from somewhere. I don't know.
Oh, God. I was sick as the sickest dog you've ever seen the whole time I was up there. I wasn't feeling sorry for myself because, what if I'd had to fly to Buffalo or Sacramento or somewhere? It's like, no, I just got in the car and came home.
From Milwaukee. All right, well, you said basketball is in the rearview mirror now, and Masters is up next. Hard to believe. It's 10 years since Zach Johnson won the Masters. That's time flies, man.
It was 10 years since Steve Alford left Iowa.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why?
And it turns out he might be heading back this way.
Why did Indiana fire Tom Crean? He wrote about it.
Yeah, well... It was, it all depends where you are and what you expect. And they pay a lot of money for basketball in that state, and they expect more than what they got.
True. Very
but
true.
You know what? They haven't been to a Final Four since 2002.
Butler's been to two.
Yeah.
That is what sticks in their craw.
There are places where people think that this stuff is supposed to go on forever.
And Brad Underwood's the answer.
Well, in Illinois.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Before we let you go, real quick, you alluded to it. Does he end up in Bloomington?
I think so, but I wouldn't set anything in stone. He's being pretty coy about it. Now, I listened to his press conference last night, and I'll try and say this quickly, but and somebody asked him about it, and he didn't snap at him. He just tried to laugh it off. He said, "I've already answered it, and I just want to talk about my team." Well, that's not exactly no, there's nothing to the story, and it should go away. So I think that there's a good chance, but also if they haven't come to a behind-the-scenes agreement, coaches are not opposed to acting like they've got suitors.
Mm. Yes.
He'll have all the riding lawnmowers he wants in Bloomington. Come on.
Yeah, and Ben, you know what they don't have in Bloomington? They don't have Lonzo Ball's father.
That's true.
Very true. Very true. Read his stuff at thegazette.com and at Halas on Twitter. Mike, great job despite being under the weather. You and Dylan up there did a tremendous job, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, thanks, guys.
You bet. Mike Halas joining us. 3:55. We'll take a break, come back, wrap it up after this.
Got your tax refund? Good, because I've got Josh Orthel at the Coralville Used Car Superstore on the phone. And Josh, you're putting the fun in refund.
We sure are with Sea Green Save Green Specials.
Sea Green Save Green, I like that.
Two of our best ever, 2016 Hyundai Elantras or 2015 Chrysler 200s from $11,995 or just $189 down, $189 a month.
With your selection, the fun part is choosing your favorite.
And it's always more fun to shop with guaranteed credit approval.
The Coralville Used Car Superstore across from Randy's Flooring. Over 2,000 vehicles to choose from.
With over 100 vehicles under $6,000, financing as low as 1.9.
Before we go, your special one more time.
2016 Elantras or 2015 Chrysler 200s from $11,995 or just $189 down, $189 a month.
If you've got your tax refund or it's on the way,
see green, save green.
Credit approval guaranteed at the Coralville Used Car Superstore.
Across from Randy's Flooring and online McGrathAuto.com.
For details, click specials.
This just in, Wendy's is adding the quarter pound double stack as an option in the 4 for $4 for a limited time. With so much beef, that's a deal so good it should not exist. In related news, howler monkeys should not be able to be heard from 3 miles away. Here to comment, a howler monkey.
Wow, that sounds like a really good deal!
Indeed, that's over a quarter pound of fresh beef with 4 nuggets, fries, and a Coke, all for just $4. Anything else, howler monkey?
I'm not allowed in libraries!
At participating Wendy's for a limited time, meal includes 4-piece nuggets, small fries, and drink. Fresh beef available in the contiguous U.S., Alaska, and Canada. Not valid in Alaska and Hawaii.
Stugatz here for Canadian Mist. You know what I'm looking forward to? Hanging with friends on the back deck. We'll grab the red Solo cups, pour some Canadian Mist whiskey with a splash of cola, a little crushed ice. It's so simple. There's absolutely nothing better. Whether you're making stories or telling them, it's how friends share a drink. Read about our story and get some great recipes at CanadianMist.com. Canadian Mist whiskey. Simply together, drink responsibly. Canadian Mist blended Canadian whiskey. 40% alcohol by volume. Brown Foreman, Louisville, Kentucky.
All right, thanks to Mike Halas for joining us. More NCAA talk coming up tomorrow. Kevin Lehman will be joining us. Mark Ironside will join us coming up on Wednesday as we wrap up the 2017 NCAA Wrestling Championships. We will have a poll question for you momentarily from Emil's Hideaway coming up on First Avenue Southeast.
Yep, audio from Kirk Ferentz and players as they begin the spring. A little bit of news here and there. We'll let the APC cover that. Of course, it doesn't include those injured players and those incoming freshmen like AJ Epinesa either. So
absolutely,
yeah,
he's not included on there, and that just came out. We'll get audio from Kirk Ferentz, as you mentioned. We'll talk to Kevin Lehman coming up tomorrow as well here on the program. Before we let you go, though, I want to let you know we have a pair of tickets to see the Rough Riders take on the Dubuque Fighting Saints on Friday, March 31st. That is a week from this Friday on America Needs Farmers Night. So catch the Rough Riders for one last time this season at the Stable. We got tickets for you right now at 319-366-1600. We'll take caller number 6, 319-366-1600. 319-366-1600. World Baseball Championship Semifinal, the Netherlands and Puerto Rico coming up tonight. APC coming your way next. Thanks for all of the text and the interaction. APC coming up next.
Want to go to a Twins game but have too much going on? Quadruple booked on the night of June 22nd? Are you playing in five different wiffle ball tournaments at the same time on July 6th? Is your August already full? If this sounds like you, say hello to the Twins Flex Plan. It's a crazy convenient way for crazy busy people like yourself to make it to Twins games whenever you can, whether you know in advance or decide right before the first pitch. Choose how many seats you want, choose your dates, save big on tickets, concessions, and merchandise. Don't plan, Flex Plan. Learn more at twinsbaseball.com/flex.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, helpwanted.com salutes the employee of the month. The one employee you can't live without. The others, let's just call them Dave.
What are you doing, Dave? We need help with payroll.
I'm doing squats, Mr. Employee of the Month. I'm taking your advice and I'm working my butt off.
That's not what I meant.
Glutes of steel. Feel them. Right here.
Oh, Dave, now I have to call HR.
We believe local businesses should be packed with more local employees of the month and fewer Daves. We make it easy to post a job, and it's local, so you won't get spammed by faraway job seekers. Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, helpwanted.com. Local job.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. At this hour, Warriors coach Steve Kerr and star Steph Curry both disputed an ESPN report that Golden State was upset over how Kevin Durant was treated leading up to his first return to Oklahoma City on February 11th. Sources told ESPN's Chris Haynes the Warriors were of the mindset someone from Thunder ownership or leadership should have addressed the media on behalf of Durant to help ease the tension upon his return. Golden State is at OKC tonight, 7 Eastern ESPN Radio. Durant does remain out with a sprained knee and bruised tibia. Warriors and Timberwolves will play two exhibition games in China, October 5th and 8th. From ESPN's Mark Stein, Magic GM Rob Hennigan's job in jeopardy. Orlando is set to miss the playoffs for a fifth straight season since Hennigan was hired. NFL, quarterback Geno Smith signed with the Giants. 1 year, $2 million, reports the NFL Network. Smith will likely be brought in as training camp competition. The Raiders signed unrestricted free agent QB E.J. Manuel. Baseball, Yankee shortstop E.J. Gregorius will undergo further tests on his injured shoulder, sustained playing for the Netherlands at the World Baseball Classic.